A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors. Throughout, characters act out or narrate to us like in a play. At times, they mime props, and prop department men in flat caps bring or exchange various things to the main characters. A title appears in handwritten font, The Rat Catcher. At daytime outside a small town's news office for the News of the Day Journal, Dr. Marshall, as a reporter, sits at a desk. He looks at us as he takes a sip of tea. In the alley between the news office and a mechanics shop, Rold, as Ratman, waits as a prop man helps him don a knapsack. Claude, a clean-cut, light-skinned mechanic, works on a car.
In the afternoon, the Ratman came to the petrol station. He sidled up the driveway with a soft, stealthy gait. His feet made no noise at all on the gravel. He had an army knapsack slung over one shoulder. He wore an old-fashioned corduroy jacket with large pockets. His corduroy trousers were tied around the knees with lengths of white string.
Hello?
Yes?
Rodent operative.
His small dark eyes moved swiftly over the premises.
The rat man.
That's me.
He was lean and leathery with a sharp face and two long sulfur yellow teeth protruding from the upper jaw over the lower lip. His ears were round and thin and set back near the back of his head. The eyes were almost black, but when they looked at you, there was a flash of yellow inside them.
You've come very quick.
Special orders from the health office.
The health office? And now you're going to catch all the rats?
Yeah.
How?
Yes, how?
Well, it depends what kind of rats, where they is. Different methods for different rats.
Trap them, I suppose.
What?
Trap them?
Trap them.
The rat man snorted.
Don't catch rats that way. Rats ain't rabbits.
He held his face up high, sniffing the air with a nose that twitched perceptibly from side to side.
Rats is clever. You want to catch them, you got to know them. You got to know rats on this job.
All three men stare at us. Ratman ambles past a petrol pump, then turns around.
You know what they do? They watch you. All the time that you're preparing how to exterminate them, they're watching you. This ain't a sewer job, is it?
No, it's not a sewer job.
Yeah, tricky thing, sewer jobs.
Really? I shouldn't think so.
Oh, you shouldn't, should you? Well, I'd like to see you do a sewer job. Just exactly how do you set about it, I'd like to know.
Poison them, I suppose.
Yeah, where exactly would you put the poison, might I ask?
Down the sewer?
The rat man sparkled triumphant.
Yeah, I knew it. Down the sewer. Well, you know what would happen then. You get washed away completely. All your poison. Sewer's like a river.
All right, well, what would you do, Mr. Ratman, on a sewer job?
The rat man advanced a step closer. His voice became secretive and confidential, the voice of a man divulging fabulous professional secrets.
He works on the understanding. A rat is a gnawing animal, see? Anything you give him, they gnaws on it.
A sewer entrance.
So you've got a sewer job on your hands. What'd you do?
His voice had the soft, throaty sound of a croaking frog, and he seemed to speak all his words with an immense wet-lit relish, as though they tasted good on the tongue.
You go down the sewer and you take along some ordinary brown paper bags filled with plaster of Paris powder, nothing else. Then you suspend them from the roof of a sewer so they hangs down, not quite touching the water, see, just high enough so a rat can reach them.
Claude was listening, rapt.
Old rat comes swimming along the sewer, sees the bag, he stops. Takes a sniff at it, it don't smell so bad. What does he do?
He gnaws it.
That's it, he starts gnawing away at the bag and the bag breaks and the old rat gets a mouthful of powder for his pains.
Well?
Well, that does him.
Well, that kills him.
Stone dead.
Plaster of Paris.
Well, swells when you wet it, gets into the rat's tubes and swells right up and kills him quicker than anything in the world. That's where you've got to know rats.
The rat man's face glowed with a shifty pride. He'd rubbed his stringy fingers together, holding the hands up close to his face.
After gazing in the sewer, the men stand.
Now, where's them rats?
The word rat came out of his mouth with a rich, fruity sound, as if he were gargling with melted butter.
Over there, in the hayrick across the road.
Not inside?
No, only in the hayrick, nowhere else.
I'll wager they're inside too, like there's not getting in all your food and spreading disease and sickness. You got any sickness here?
He looked pointedly at me, then at Claude.
Everyone's in good health.
Quite sure.
Quite sure.
You never know.
He had taken upon himself the mantle of a public health officer, deeply disappointed we were not suffering from bubonic plague.
Nevertheless, the rats are in the hayrick. How do you plan to remove them?
The rat man grinned a crafty, toothy grin. He reached into his knapsack and withdrew a large tin, weighing it up and down in his hands as he spoke.
Poison. Special poison. Deadly poison. They put you inside for 6 months. If they caught you with even a spoonful of this, there's enough here to kill a million men. Want to see?
Yes, please.
He took a penny from his pocket and prized open the lid.
There it is.
He spoke fondly, almost lovingly, of the stuff and held it forward for Claude to look.
Corn or barley, is it?
He mimes a tin.
Oats soaked in deadly poison. You take just one of them grains in your mouth and you're a goner in 3 minutes. Never out of my sight, this tin.
He caressed the tin and gave it a little shake.
Shh, shh, shh.
so that the oak reins rustle softly inside.
But not today. Your rats don't get this today, or they wouldn't have it anyway. And that's where you've got to know rats. Rats is suspicious, terrible suspicious. So today they get some nice, clean, tasty oats that'll do them no harm in the world. Fatten them up, that's all it'll do. And tomorrow they get the same again, and the day after that, and the day after that. And it'll taste so good, there'll be all the rats in the district coming along soon enough.
Very clever.
You've got to be clever on this job. You've got to be clever on a rat, and that is saying something.
You've almost got to be a rat yourself,
I said. It slipped out an error before I had time to stop myself, and I couldn't really help it because I was looking at the man at the time. But the effect it had upon him was surprising.
That's it,
he cried.
Now you got it. Now you really said something. A good rat has got to be more like a rat than anything else in the world, cleverer even than a rat, and that is not an easy thing to be, let me tell you.
Outside the news office.
Right, let's get on with it. I haven't got all day. Lady Leonora Benson's asking for me urgent up at the manor.
She's got rats too?
Everybody's got rats.
The rat man ambled off down the driveway. The way he walked was so like a rat, it made you wonder. That slow, almost delicate ambling walk with a lot of give at the knees and no sound at all from his footsteps on the gravel.
They separate.
He hopped nimbly over the gate into the field and walked quickly round the hayrick, scattering handfuls of oats onto the ground. The next day, he returned and repeated the procedure. The day after that, he came again, and once again the day after that. And finally, on the fourth day, he put down the poisoned oats, but he didn't scatter these. Instead, he placed them carefully in little piles at each corner of the hayrick.
At a hayrick, Claude holds a sack and a hand shovel.
You got a dog?
Yes.
Well, if you want him to die an horrible, twisting death, let him in that gate.
The next day, he came to collect the dead.
Get me an old sack. I'm going to need an old sack to put them in.
He was puffed up and important now, the black eyes gleaming with pride. He was about to display the sensational results of his catch to the audience. Claude fetched a sack and the three of us walked across the road. The rat man prowled round the hayrick, bending over to inspect one of his little piles of poison.
Something wrong here,
he muttered. His voice was soft and angry. He ambled over to another pile and got down on his knees to examine it closely.
Something bloody wrong here.
What's the matter?
He didn't answer, but it was clear the rats hadn't touched his bait. These are very clever rats here, I said. The rat man was very annoyed and showed it on his face and around the nose and by the way the two yellow teeth were pressing down into the skin of his lower lip.
Don't give me that crap,
he said, looking at me.
There's nothing wrong with these rats except somebody's feeding them. They got something juicy to eat somewhere and plenty of it. There's no rats in the world will turn down oats unless their bellies is full to bursting.
The rat man turned away sullen. He knelt down again and began to scoop up the poisoned oats with a small shovel, tipping it carefully back into a tin. When he had finished, all three of us walked back across the road.
The reporter addresses us.
The rat man stood by the petrol pump, a rather sorry, humble rat man now, whose face was beginning to take on a brooding aspect. He had withdrawn into himself over his failure, the eyes veiled and wicked, the little tongue darting out to one side of the two yellow teeth. He looked up at me, a quick, surreptitious glance, and over at Claude. His nose end twitched, sniffing the air. He raised himself up and down a few times on his toes, swaying gently, and in a soft voice, soft and secretive, he said,
"You want to see something?"
He was obviously trying to retrieve his reputation.
What?
You want to see something amazing?
He put his right hand into the deep poacher's pocket of his jacket and brought out a large live rat clasped tight between his fingers.
Good God.
He mimes the rat.
That's it, you see.
He was crouching slightly now and craning his neck forward and leering at us and holding this enormous brown rat in his hands, one finger and thumb making a tight circle around the creature's neck, clamping its head rigid so it couldn't turn and bite.
Do you normally go around with rats in your pockets?
Always got a rat or two about me somewhere.
With that, he put his free hand into the other pocket and produced a small white...
Is that a ferret?
The rat man snickered, hissing. The ferret seemed to know him and stay still in his grasp.
Nothing will kill a rat quicker than a ferret.
He held the two animals close together in front of him so the ferret's nose came within 6 inches of the rat's face. The pink beady eyes of the ferret stared at the rat. The rat struggled, trying to edge away from the killer.
Now,
he said.
Watch.
With Ratman's coat removed, he mimes.
His khaki shirt was open at the neck and he lifted the rat and slipped it down inside next to his skin. His belt prevented the rat from going lower than his waist. He slipped the ferret in next. Immediately, there was a great commotion inside the shirt. It appeared the rat was running around the man's body, chased by the ferret. 6 or 7 times they went around, the small bulge chasing the larger one, gaining on it slightly each circuit, drawing closer and closer, until at last the two bulges seemed to come together, and there was a scuffle and a series of shrill shrieks. Throughout this performance, the rat man stood absolutely still, legs apart, arms hanging loosely, dark eyes resting calmly on Claude's frozen face.
Claude looks at us.
Finally, he took his hand and reached down into his shirt, and pulled out the ferret. With the other, he took out the dead rat. There were traces of blood around the white muzzle of the ferret.
Ratman holds out his hand.
Not sure I like that very much,
I said.
You've never seen nothing like it before, I'll bet you that.
Can't say I have.
Likely as not, you'll get a nasty nip in the guts one of these days.
Claude told him, but he was clearly intrigued and the Ratman was becoming cocky again.
You want to see something far more amazing than that? Something you'd never believe unless you've seen it with your own eyes.
I glanced at Claude, more than slightly apprehensive.
Prop men bring a taxidermy rat.
Yes.
Ratman holds it.
The Ratman slipped the dead rat back into one pocket and the ferret into the other. Then he reached into his knapsack and produced, if you please, a second live rat.
Holy Christ!
Always got one or two rats about me somewhere. You've got to know rats on this job, and if you want to know them, you've got to have them around you. This is a sewer rat, this one. He's an old sewer rat, clever as buggery. See him watching me all the time, wondering what I'm going to do next. See him.
Most unpleasant.
What are you going to do? I asked. I had a feeling I was going to like this demonstration even less than the last one.
Fetch me a piece of string.
Claude fetched a piece of string. The rat man looped it round one of the rat's hind legs. The rat struggled, but the rat man held it tight.
He passes the rat around.
Now, got a table inside?
We don't want the rat inside, I said.
Well, I need a table or something flat anyway.
We walked over to the petrol pump and the rat man put the sewer rat on top. He attached the string to a post, so the rat was now tethered.
The rat animates.
At first it crouched, unmoving and suspicious, a big-bodied grey rat with bright black eyes and a scaly tail that lay in a long curl on the metal surface. It was looking away from the ratman, but watching him sideways to see what he was going to do. The ratman stepped back a few paces, and immediately the rat relaxed. It sat up on its haunches and began to lick the grey fur on its chest. Then it scratched its muzzle with both front paws. It seemed quite unconcerned about the other men standing nearby.
How about a little bet?
It mouths Ratman's words.
No, thank you, I said.
Just for fun. It's more fun if you bet.
What do you want to bet on?
I'll bet you I can kill that rat without using my hands. I'll put my hands in my pockets and not use them.
It was apparent the Ratman was out to earn some money. I looked at the rat that was going to be killed and began to feel slightly sick. Not so much because it was going to be killed, but because it was going to be killed in a special way, with a considerable degree of enthusiasm.
You'll kick it with your feet?
No feet.
Nor arms?
Nor arms, nor legs, nor hands, neither.
You'll sit on
no
it?
No squashing.
Let's see you do it.
Well, bet me first. Bet me a quid.
Don't be bloody daft. Why should we give you a quid?
Well, what are you bet?
Zero. Nothing.
All right, then it's a no-go.
The rat stills.
He made as if to untie the string.
I'll bet you a shilling.
The sick sensation in my stomach was increasing, but there was an awful sort of magnetism about this business. I found myself unable to walk away or even move.
You too?
No.
You want me to do this for a lousy shilling?
I don't want you to do it.
Where's the money?
Claude put a shilling on the petrol pump. The rat man produced two sixpences and laid them beside Claude's money.
Bet's on.
Claude and I stepped back. The rat man stepped forward. He put his hands in his pockets and inclined his body from the waist towards the rat. The rat was crouching alarmed. It seemed to me it was preparing to spring at the rat man's face, but then it began to reverse away, dragging its body backwards with slow, crouching steps until the string tautened on its hind leg. The rat man leaned further towards the rat, following it back and forth with his face and eyes. Suddenly, the rat panicked and leapt sideways into the air.
The lights dim. Claude mimics the rat and faces off with rat man.
The string pulled it up with a jerk that must have nearly dislocated its leg. It crouched again at the edge of the petrol pump as far away as the string would allow, whiskers quivering, the long grey body rigid with fear. At this point, the rat man again began to move his face very slowly, closer and closer. I wanted to cry out for him to stop, but I couldn't bring myself to speak. Something extremely unpleasant was about to happen, I was sure of that. Something sinister and cruel. But I had to see it now. There was not more than the length of a man's hand separating the two faces. The rat was pressing its body flat, tense and terrified. The rat man was also tense, but with a dangerous, active tensity that was like a tight-wound spring.
The shadow of a smile flickered around the skin of his mouth.
Roald narrates.
Suddenly, he struck as a snake strikes, darting his head forward with one swift, knife-like stroke
that originated in the muscles of the lower body.
And I had a momentary glimpse of the mouth opening very wide.
And two yellow teeth.
And the whole face contorted by the effort of mouth opening.
The reporter stares.
More than that, I did not care to see. I closed my eyes, and when I opened them again, the rat was dead, and the rat man was slipping the money back into his pocket and spitting to clear his mouth.
Light returns. Ratman spits fake blood.
And that's what they make licorice out of. Rat's blood's what the big factories and chocolate makers use to make licorice. Now, there's nothing wrong with a drop of rat's blood.
The three men look at us.
You are absolutely disgusting.
Oh, well, that's it, you see. You've eaten it many a time. Penny sticks and licorice bootlaces, all made from rat's blood.
We don't want to hear another word, thank you.
Boiled up it is in great cauldrons, bubbling and steaming, and men stirring it with long poles. That's one of the big secrets of the chocolate-making factories, and no-one knows about it. No-one except the ratters supplying the stuff.
Suddenly, he noticed his audience was no longer with him. Our faces were hostile and sick-looking and crimson with anger. He stopped and turned away without another word. We watched as he sloped onto the road with a slow, delicate, ambling walk. His footsteps didn't make a sound, not even on the gravel.
After a prop man brings Ratman his knapsack, Ratman exits through the alley. The reporter and Claude observe. The reporter returns to his desk. Claude saunters over.
Strange. The rats never ate the poisoned oats. There must be something nutritious in the hayrick.
They zero in on a bulletin in the news office's window. A sign with a rendering of a bearded man reads, "Missing." They look at us. At the hayrick, leaves skim along the ground in a breeze. Cut to black. Text appears. In the late 40s, Dahl lived at Wisteria Cottage, Amersham, where his principal occupation was the writing of Claude's Dog, a cycle of short stories inspired by the area and its locals. The Rat Catcher comes from this collection. Opening credits. Logo. Text appears under an ombre paintbrush stroke that tapers off into flying geese. Indian paintbrush. Netflix and Indian Paintbrush present an American empirical short story by Roald Dahl, starring, in order of appearance, Richard Ayoade, Rafe Fiennes, Rupert Friend, written for the screen and directed by Wes Anderson. Audio description provided by International Digital Center, written by Kathleen Finn and voiced by Kimberly Chatterjee. Credits. Produced by Wes Anderson, Stephen Rails, Jeremy Dawson. Director of Photography, Robert Yeoman, ASC. Production designer, Adam Stockhausen. Costume designer, Kasia Wallika Maimani. Credits continue. Copyright 2023 Netflix. Logo. A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.